You're listening to the Wheel of Time TV podcast with Jay Florence.
Welcome to Randland. It's our 1 year anniversary. How crazy is that?
You know, this is a lot better, like, doing it this way than hustling my little ass to Brooklyn to get to your apartment. Remember when you'd show up arriving, like, all sweaty and bike smelly?
Yeah, but for me it was great because you'd bring me baskets of cheese.
And I have so much cheese.
Charcuterie. Colin and I were just remembering how we used to have to crank the window air conditioner units for like an hour before recording, and then we'd turn them off, and then whenever we'd break, we'd all like huddle in front of the AC and try to cool off. We were so sweaty. Anyway, those days are over, and yeah, right? I live in California now, so I'm just naturally sweaty, and I enjoy it.
Gotta love it.
It's our 1 year anniversary, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of our fans and to the Wheel of Time community for welcoming us in.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have made it a year with the podcast. It seems like just yesterday, but I think we've done some really fun stuff, and I'm excited about the progression of the production crew for the show itself. Like, I think they've made some really good choices, and yeah, again, I'm excited for the community for welcoming us in.
Yeah,
I am just thankful for you guys.
Aww.
Because you guys make this so great to do, and I'm also like, I forget that we do this because there's a TV show coming.
I know. Yeah.
You know, like, I keep forgetting that, like, yeah, totally. That the TV show is coming.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So that was a really good point to bring in the production crew, because sometimes it's like, oh, right, this is going to be something we can watch.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. It's kind of surreal. I've been thinking about the show now that we've sort of reached this 1 year mark. And for me, I maybe because I have a production background, I kind of think of it as like a startup. Like, you don't exactly know what you're doing the first time you're podcasting. And then we can kind of look back and think about, you know, what things were really fun, what works, what doesn't work, and start to make a bit of changes. So we do have a lot of announcements today. The first, you may have figured out already from our ominous episode title, Three Will Ride Forth. And you may have also noticed that Andrew is not with us. So, some sad news at Randland. Stomp will not be returning for season 2, but we are so grateful for all the work he did on the RPG and his perspective as a first-time reader. So, to honor him, I wanted to read a quote that we've revised, especially for him, and it's from the Corinthian Cycle Prophecy. "Twice and twice shall he be marked, twice to live and twice to die. Once the heron to set his path, twice the heron to name him true. Once the dragon for remembrance lost, twice the dragon for the price he must pay. Four ride forth and three return. Above the watchers, over the waves shall he proclaim himself, bannered across the sky in fire." Which, of course, is mentioned in The Great Hunt when Varen ensures that five ride forth to battle this Shanchan, and Ingtar is lost. So in our case, Stomp is lost. But this obviously means that the RPG right now is suspended. So I do want to apologize to our fans that have stayed with us for that. It was so much fun for us. And I really personally don't like to leave anything unfinished. So I am sorry that it's sort of a incomplete campaign. We do have one more episode, but sadly we won't see exactly what happens to Daphne, Zan, and Lem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
But we have a lot of happy news. We are making some changes here, and we have a few promotions to announce. So Lauren is going to be our new Keeper of the Chronicles.
Woo!
To my Amrelin seat. So I'll be the official Amrelin. And Colin is now the Mihail.
Mihail.
So who's like the secretary? I'd be like the secretary. Would Colin be like the treasurer?
No, he's the leader of the Black Tower.
now treasurer for sure.
Yeah. Treasurer and the sergeant at arms.
Yeah.
Sergeant at arms.
So the reason for our honorary title changes, Colin is going to be co-hosting with me. So what that means is, usually I sort of do the introduction and guide some of our discussions. We'll be trading off the sort of host duties. So Colin will lead and produce some of the episodes and we'll trade on and off. And Lauren, of course, will be joining us for all the discussions.
I'll be here, hang out.
Yeah. Because she's amazing. On to more changes. With Stomp not being here, and also with the TV show being delayed, we have an opportunity to dive into topics and themes in a deeper way. And for that reason, we are going to be full of spoilers.
Finally!
I know! I'm so excited. Basically, if you haven't read the full series, go back and listen to season one. And unfortunately, we're going to have spoilers from here on out. But, this really frees us up to deep dive into character arcs, themes of gender, sexual identity, like other themes in the books. And so we're really excited to start tackling that.
Yeah.
We'll still be covering production news. Hopefully filming is starting to resume and some more news will come out. And we've also added a new segment highlighting Twitter of Time. We frequently mention the Twitter of Time community, but now we're sort of going to make it formal and dedicate a small segment to them in each episode where we highlight, one discussion thread or one fan. I know it brings a lot of fun and joy to colonize lives.
Yeah.
I still don't have a Twitter.
I know.
Gotta get one. Gotta get in there.
Yeah.
Do I need to? Jamie, you can make me one in Montana?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you're a mom, and I'm going to show you how the Twitter works.
How the Twitter
works. Yeah, I have the glasses for a mom, so I might as well.
I mean, Colin really had to show me. I'm still really bad at it. I make people mad. I don't know what to do.
Well, you're going to learn all about the tweeter.
I got in trouble today for hating on the magicians.
That's fair. They just went off the rails with that show.
Yeah, it was.
It was so good, and then it was so bad.
I called it a dumpster fire, and I think I came across too strongly. I feel like because I'm a podcast host, I try to stay objective, and even on Twitter, like 99.9% of the time, I'm withholding, my real reactions or whatever and trying to be very even-handed, but I can't help it if I'm also an Aries, so 0.01% of the time just my passionate fangirl's gonna come out, and I think I was triggered by the word magicians.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Just like
that shit was not it was disappointment, I'll say that. It was really disappointing.
Yeah,
I didn't mind the first season.
Me neither.
I didn't either, actually. I didn't love it, but I didn't mind it.
Past the time.
It wasn't what I wanted it to be, but it was like, okay, fine. But then as soon as that musical episode came out, I was like, no, I'm out.
They jumped the shark. Once they once they became like Glee with magic, they jumped the shark, yeah. For sure. Pressure. That concludes our announcement. So Colin will be co-hosting. We'll be covering production news, Twitter of Time highlights, and spoilers, focusing on a different topic each episode. Starting next episode, we'll be doing that. Today, we have a fun episode lined up. We're going to be focusing on all the latest casting announcements that came out this summer. Some of them are a little bit mysterious. We don't know exactly what character they're playing.
Fucking Steve.
Then we have a really fun Twitter of Time thread to discuss.
Don't wanna live, don't wanna die. We just keep riding on this wheel of time. You know the past is just a time we dream, and the future still remains to be seen.
I feel really rusty. It's been a while since we've done it, all three of us. I know, it feels like forever.
Yeah.
I think, because of the production delay, Colin and I were able to do a couple bonus episodes that did have spoilers that were, topical. And I feel like that inspired at least me to sort of change the format of, like, mm-hmm. where we're going now. You know, we talked about racism in the Twitter of Time community and the fandom in general and fantasy, and we talked about the relationship between, like, Rand, Min, Avienda, and Elaine, which was fun. So yeah. I definitely want to do more episodes like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now we can.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention is my personal goal is to have more guests this season as well. And so, you know, we'll be looking to people in the fandom, but also outside. So experts in any of the topics we may be talking about, whether that's production or something more specific like gender or fantasy fiction, et cetera, et cetera. So look out for that.
Can we get some warriors on?
Warriors?
Yeah, I'll call them some of my friends. Good. I got some warriors. Yeah, I got some channelers too.
I would like some battle experts.
Colin's cousin is a martial arts expert.
He's a bona fide warrior.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
He likes to talk too.
That's true.
Wait, what is he like?
He likes to talk.
That's not what I heard.
What did you think?
I thought he said that he likes cock too.
So our production news topic today is casting. We're going to, you know, sort of glaze over some of them. We'll give you an overview and then we'll stop and pause and discuss ones that are of a bit more higher interest. Sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So starting off, we have new cast for the Two Rivers. So Daze Conger, Sen Buwi, Marin and Bran Alvear, and Natty and Abel Cawthon have all been cast. Mm-hmm. Exciting?
Yeah, that's great.
I love that we have a town.
We have Leah. We have a whole village. We can see like all the cast of characters like moving about Even's Fail, which is pretty cool.
Well, I'm pretty excited about Sen Buwi because he definitely looks like a crotchety old man, and I think that's great.
Yeah, he's got that look. I watched, Jamie, you posted that video of him like reading his story.
Yeah,
and he I'm excited because he's got the look, but also he has the feel of a really good character actor, like someone who can like really get into like that role of like a very specific type of role, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. Lauren, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I didn't.
I'll play a clip from it.
You just wait till you get tomato ketchup or egg yolk dripped on you, he used to say. That'll wipe the smile off your buttonholes, especially you and washies only. You get banged and bashed about in a plastic bowl so that you won't know your collar from your cuffs. And if that doesn't work, you'll get the dab it off treatment, and that really stings.
He acts a lot with his teeth. You know who his teeth look like? You know in Aladdin when Jafar is dressed as like the old crotchety man, and he's just
so. David Stern has been cast as Sen Buwi. He's an English actor known for The Wolfman and A Knight's Tale. And during quarantine, he wrote and read out loud on YouTube a short story called "The Odd Sock," which, is about a sock. No, I mean, there's metaphors, allegories in there, but it gives you a taste of his voice, I think. I think he'll be more crotchety, but I think he definitely has the range and the sort of tone to play Sen Buwi.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got the teeth for it, for sure.
Oh my god. I'm excited about Bran.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because he's hot?
He's a hot guy, yes.
He's pretty hot.
I feel like there's a lot of like slightly joking like murmur about like he's not the portly innkeeper, you know, like he's not the so I wonder like if they're going to like pad
make him
chubby. Yeah, if they're going to pad him or if they're going to just kind of cut that line, you know what I mean, that concept.
I think they're cutting the concept. I will say this. People said, I'm glad he's not skinny. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you only count like scrawny.
Right.
As skinny.
Right.
Because he's pretty buff.
Yeah.
You know. But I would say he's lean. And I think when we say not a skinny innkeeper, we mean like he's got a wide girth.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah.
In Eye of the World, Bran Alvear appeared from the inn, seeming as always to step too lightly for a man of his girth, nearly double that of anyone else in the village. A smile split his round face, which was topped by a sparse fringe of gray hair. So yeah, we're pretty far with this Australian hottie, but he is believably Egwene Madeline Madden's father, like in this role.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like both of Egwene's parents, the actors they cast, have like they seem to have like the warmth that I would expect from the Alvears, you know.
I'm curious how his like physicality will play into the character. Like it might be a different brand than we know.
Sure.
Because he's not like this jolly, portly guy.
Right, right.
He's got a pretty jolly smile in the image you chose.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But I never pictured myself, you know, having a crush on Master Alvear.
Maybe he'll whereas just have, like a dad this, body.
He definitely doesn't have a dad body.
Maybe they'll just give him like a little pooch.
Colin sent me this like picture, this tweet the other day that was a French bulldog standing up on its hind legs, and it said, "Every guy over 35 in skinny jeans." You'd have to eat a lot of food to look like that by the time.
Oh man!
But no, I guess what I meant in Eye of the World, I feel like because Bran is this like big, portly, jolly guy. When he's juxtaposed next to Tam, like I almost feel like Tam is this the wisest guy sort of in the Two Rivers because
he left and came back.
Yeah, he's worldly, but he has this solidness to him.
Yeah,
and so even though like he doesn't want to be a leader, he just kind of wants to leave his quiet life. Like the mayor and the village council, I feel like look to Tam.
Yeah.
Whereas this Bran might be a little different. Like, that dynamic could be a little different. Not that I didn't take him seriously, but I felt like he, I don't know, had this sort of symbiotic relationship with Tam.
Yeah.
Where he was a little more, like, nervous about how to handle things, and Tam would always kind of settle it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the characters are played.
Yeah.
And as far as those dynamics.
And Meryn looks great. Daze Conger, I did want to call out. So Mandy Simmons, she's also an English actress, and she hasn't been in that much. But Daze Conger's pretty standout role is just the female foil to Sed Buie. I feel like is just you don't mess with Daze Conger.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But she was, if you look her up, she says, known for her 1982 movie called Scrubbers.
Okay.
Oi, 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 oi! Like a bloody hen pen in here.
On report for foul language.
Thank you, Mac.
I mean, why do we have to do all the boring jobs?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of work you did before you came in here, isn't it?
Funny news.
You're not here to learn to be Lady Prime Ministers, you know. Now get on with it.
It's a crime. What Borswick can do to a girl. Scrubbers.
It's basically like these girls in some sort of like a detention center or a private school. And anyway, there's like a big poster behind them that says Hellhole Bitches.
Oh, wow.
and there's like this like punk song playing. And she's one of the what they call scrubbers, which is like a British slang. But I found it fascinating because one of my favorite movies is With Nell and I, and there's a scene where they're driving down the road and they lean out the window and yell scrubbers at these schoolgirls.
Scrubbers!
On your granddad!
Scrubbers! Scrubbers! Shut up!
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I thought they just made it up for that movie, but apparently...
It's a
Britishism.
That's, I see.
Yeah.
It's a term.
I love learning new British slang. But yeah, what'd you guys think?
She looks good. She's got the look I would expect from the role.
I like her eyebrows. They definitely look like mean eyebrows.
They're like thin and arched. Yeah.
Like Kate Mulgrew energy going for me, like Kate Mulgrew in Orange is the New Black, but like a nicer, softer Two Rivers version. So
gotcha.
I was like, okay, I can see this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cawthons look like what I would expect.
They both look very chiseled in these photos you chose.
Well, I didn't choose them. Those are their headshots.
Like their headshots, yeah.
Yeah. But I do feel like they look like they would be Matt's parents based on the casting of Matt.
They got high cheekbones.
Yeah. I think Matt is, Barney Harris is very attractive. I'll just say. I approve of that casting.
You approve?
Yeah, I approve.
Okay.
So just to round it out, yes, Lolita Chakrabarty is Marin Alvear. Christopher Sharef is Abel Cawthon. And Juliet Howland is Natty Cawthon.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, like, Abel, like, the casting for Abel, and then we have got, I think it was Michael Hatton?
Yes.
Cam, right? So, like, just thinking about those two characters, because I feel like they're kind of, like,
right,
buddy-buddy characters, kind of. And I think, like, Christopher's background is from, like, a lot of action movies. Is that correct?
Or action
roles? So I wonder if that'll inform, like, what we can expect from these characters.
Yeah, people might recognize him. He was in 300 Rise of an Empire. It's probably the most notable one. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I feel like this Abel could definitely beat Tam at the Beltane archery competition.
Yeah, it could be like a, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a real competition now. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never pictured Bran Alvear participating in any of those athletic events, but now who knows? Like, it's a good thing Beltane's canceled by Trollocs. Okay, so moving on, we also have new castings for the White Tower.
So exciting.
It is really exciting. So Leanna Sedai, Karina Sedai, and an unspecified warder have been cast. So we'll go into those. And then also a young Suan Sanche. Let's start with the Aes Sedai and warder first before we get into young Suan Sanche, because that's a little bit different than full Aes Sedai, White Tower territory.
I like that we have more racial diversity in our White Tower. I think this is great, other than our warder, but with the Aes Sedai. We got, and like, they're, you know, not of a certain age, or are of a certain age, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like the first Aes Sedai we heard of were pretty young, with Corrine Nagashi, who's being played by Claire Perkins. So she's an English TV actress. She's appeared on BBC One's Casualty and EastEnders. I just wanted to call out that I was looking up all the new actors, and 90% of them have been on this BBC show Casualty.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
I think it's like...
Is it like BBC Law and Order?
Yeah, but it's like, it's more like BBC ER.
Okay, all right.
But bad. Like, okay. Daytime television.
Gotcha. Like, they were all a casualty on Casualties?
Like, so many. Three of the Two Rivers people, and then this one White Tower person. So already, like, four of the people we've talked about have been on Casualty, and most of them also on EastEnders.
Interesting.
But anyway, Claire Perkins is playing, I'm not sure if it's Corrine or Karina. Do you know, Colin?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's, I don't know, Corrine, I always said, but I don't know.
I would say Corrine.
Okay, let's say Corrine. So in the books, we see her in New Spring. She's battle general of the Green Aja. She's stronger in the One Power than Moraine and Suan. Mm-hmm. She has two warders. So potentially maybe our unknown warder could be, unspecified warder could be Peter Franzen. Mm-hmm. And what we know is she was killed by the Black Aja after they tortured Tamra, the Amyrlin at the time, because Corrine was one of the hunters for the Dragon Reborn, so she knew about Jatara's prophecy and was hunting, and so the Black Aja killed all the women that they knew about the prophecy. She's described as being a tall, slim woman. She looked exactly like what she was, her ageless face strong and beautiful, her nearly black eyes pools of serenity. So, yeah, Claire Perkins definitely, I think, fits that description.
For sure.
I haven't seen much of her acting, but I have faith. And it does make me wonder, now that we're seeing a range of Aes Sedai, how they're going to make them have this, like, ageless effect.
Right. Like, how they're
like how like... subtle it's going to be.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I hope it's subtle.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it could, it should be pretty subtle, unless they're, like, a super old Aes Sedai who've been working with the power for like 200 years, I would think, you know?
Yeah, like the kin.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like Helen Mirren subtle.
But yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to see how they're going to kind of like standardize that Aes Sedai look, you know?
Yeah. And then we have Leana Sedai, who we used to call Lean Cuisine, Lean Sedai, before we listened to the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. It was Leana. But Jennifer Chun Garcia playing Leana, she's Canadian. She's of Mexican and Korean heritage. And she's known for Van Helsing and the 100 TV series.
I feel like she's like, I haven't watched either of those series, but following her on Twitter and Instagram, like, I feel like she's like super active, like action-y type actor,
oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's the feeling I get. Like, so I wonder like how we'll see, how she'll like, how that adds to like the physicality of her character.
Yeah.
So, so from The Great Hunt, we've got a description of Leana. The keeper of the Chronicles was as tall as most men, willowy and graceful, still beautiful with coppery skin and short dark hair.
Yeah. So, I mean, whether they keep her hair short or long doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah,
but totally. I think, like, she has the sort of strength and authority that Leana portrays.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like, you know, later when she is stilled and starts, like, paying more attention to her sort of demony abilities of, like,
right,
looking pretty and being more feminine, I feel like this could be, like, a cool shift to explore with her. Like, I feel like she'd pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely. I'm actually really anxious or excited to see that kind of dynamic shift in character, like from the keeper to like stilled and like,
yeah,
faced,
yeah,
like having to face that and then coming back from that. It's such a great arc. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see that.
I guess one thing I'm curious about is that, you know, they say when the Aes Sedai are stilled, they're almost unrecognizable. Like, they look like teenage or young adult versions of themselves.
Yeah.
My gut tells me they're not going to recast the role, that they're just going to do different makeup or,
yeah,
you know, subtle, yeah, things.
Maybe it'll be like a Brad Pitt thing in Benjamin Button, because didn't they use like old... Like, but seriously, don't laugh.
Let's Benjamin Button all the Aes Sedai rape.
You know how they like used old footage of Brad Pitt and just like superimposed it over
current Brad Pitt?
They can do a lot of CG now, like what they did in Fast and Furious after
what did they do with the Will Smith movie that Gemini? Is that Gemini Man? Anyone see that?
No.
I didn't see it, no, but I know what you're talking about. When he was, like, fighting himself or whatever.
He was fighting, like, the Fresh Prince. Like, let's be real.
Will Smith versus the Fresh Prince.
I'll take your word for it.
I didn't see it.
But you're right, though. There is a lot they can do with technology. I feel like a bad example was that The Irishman.
With Robert De Niro.
Yes.
So bad.
They tried to, like...
That was so awkward.
They used this technology on Robert De Niro.
So awkward.
To, like, make him look younger. The problem is, and I love Robert De Niro, like, all respect to Robert De Niro, but he is old, and so, like, they had to, like, cover his neck. So he has, like, no neck in the whole movie, and then they just try to age down his face, and it's really awkward.
And he still walks like an old man.
Yeah, it's not a believable thing. I don't think anything that extreme is needed for the Aes Sedai, but anyway, the technology exists. We can Benjamin Button the stilled Aes Sedai is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So we have Peter Frampton. He's an unspecified warder. I think he could be one of Corrine's warders because, you know, there's a chance that they, you know, they probably died when she was being murdered by the Black Aja.
Right.
He could just be unspecified for that reason. Do you guys have any speculation there?
I really don't. Like, it could be anyone at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, unspecified warder, that's just, like, the worst as unspecified. Like, give him a name, maybe not Steve. But
yeah,
Steve the unspecified warder. Maybe every unknown character is just named Steve.
Yeah,
you're Steve the unspecified warder. You're Steve the Camelin Road dad.
Yeah,
hey Steve,
Camelin Road dad. Additionally, we have young Suan Sanche, or Swan, however you like to say it, played by Kira Chansa, who is 11 years old.
I love this casting so much.
Yeah, this is exciting.
It is exciting. Because we don't know who the Amarylin Swan is yet.
Is this the youngest casting yet?
Yeah. Yeah, that's been announced.
That's super cool.
At first, I was a little confused because if you've seen the headshot that was used to announce it, she looks even younger, like probably or like 8. Then when I looked up, she has her own Twitter, which she's pretty active on, and she's 11, so she's probably taller than I am. and so, because I was trying to get an age to figure out kind of where in the story we might be.
Sure.
If this is in flashback, either to Suwon as a child, or if it's part of a New Spring integration with Swan as a novice. Mm-hmm. Someone said, oh, we're going to get to see Swan and Tyr on a fishing boat. And other people said, oh, we're going to get to see her as a novice. So, not really sure exactly, given the age.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. I was excited about this, obviously, because it's a new casting for a pretty amazing character. But also, I'm wondering, like, if we're going to... Does it mean we'll get to see, like, some of Moraine and, like, Kyrian Court? You know, like...
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah.
That would be super cool.
Yeah. So that would be cool. I would like to see some Moraine tidbits from...
Yeah.
Early life, you know.
Feisty young Moraine.
I feel like she had no friends. She was happy to go to the White Tower. Like... So Kira Chansa is also an English actor. She's 11 years old. She's featured in Come Away, which hasn't been released yet. It stars Angelina Jolie. And in it, she plays a young Alice, a la Alice in Wonderland, who is friends with Peter Pan. And she was most recently in a stage production called Small Island, where she had to learn to do a Jamaican accent.
Okay.
So she can probably do whatever accent they need for Wheel of Time.
Talk about fish guts. What's your fish knowledge like?
Probably minimal.
I don't know. She lives on an island. Maybe it's really good. England's an island.
That's true.
Maybe your fish knowledge is on par.
Maybe. The Wheel of Time Companion describes Suwon as Taran, fair-skinned, blue-eyed, and more than handsome. It notes that she was pillow friends with Moraine for at least 6 years, and it continued into the early years of them becoming Aes Sedai, but it kind of fizzled out. And in New Spring, even the young Swan is described as being like a natural leader, which, you know, initially takes Moraine by surprise because she comes from a court and is sort of used to taking charge, but she tends to defer to Swan in a lot of situations. So I guess one thing I was... Not to rule it out, but I was, like, maybe a little bummed about was that, okay, if she's 11, we're not going to be flashing back to Swan and Moraine's pillow friends.
Right.
In that kind of way.
Not yet.
I did want to give a shout-out to Bane and Chiad. They said, can we also talk about the fact that we're going to see little tiny Swan Sanche learning valuable life lessons on her family's fishing boat?
Right?
Yes.
It's true.
I think it would be fun. I would love to see this Kira, like, cursing and learning all her fish.
Yeah.
Like hearing her dad teach her all the fish mantras, idioms and stuff. It'd be good. So moving on to new casting for Children of the Light. We have Jeffrey Bornhold and Eamon Valda. Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting. So Stuart Graham is English, and he is known for, he played the prison officer in Hunger. The 2008 film.
Okay.
Did you guys see this?
I didn't see it, no.
It's amazing. It's Steve McQueen's debut film.
Okay.
He's also been in The Fall.
The Fall? Like, oh, the TV show.
Yeah, the TV show. Starring Gillian Anderson.
I love that show.
It was the first time a lot of Americans realized that she was British.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just thought she was American because of The X-Files.
Yeah, right.
I'm one of those people.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. But Stuart Graham's also been in The Foreigner with Jackie Chan and Bad Day for the Cut, which is a smaller British film, but it actually looked pretty good. But he's mostly played kind of bad guys or, you know, officers of some kind.
Okay.
So interesting. You know, he's probably a shoe-in for Jeffrey Bornhold.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, like, both of these actors, like, seriously capture what I would expect these characters to look like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Bornhold. I remember him as like sort of having his own moral code, even though he's convinced of Perrin and Egwene being dark friends.
Mm-hmm. I love that scene.
He's not like evil or a bad guy. He's a very human character in that, you know, I don't agree with his beliefs and he's, you know, signed up with this organization, but right. In his mind, he means well.
I think
he doesn't
get
pleasure from like, you know, doing these things.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's not the first White Cloak we meet, but I think he's the first one we really come to understand as a human being. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I think it's a really intelligent choice to give us that one first.
Yeah.
As it relates to what we come to understand the White Cloaks being and what, like, the diversity of, like, mindsets within the White Cloaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like Jeffrey Bullhorn. He's like one of those characters where, like, I like you, but you're just on the wrong side, buddy. You know, like,
yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
I pulled a quote from The Great Hunt that I think sort of sums up that, but it's Bornhold's thoughts, his point of view. Mm-hmm. He says, "At least I have not killed any innocents. He could be as hard as on Dark Friends as any man sworn to the light. Dark Friends must be destroyed before they pulled the whole world under the shadow. But he wanted to be sure that they were Dark Friends first." Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has sort of his own code. He doesn't just, like, follow orders as blindly as some people. But at the same time, he doesn't trust Valda,
right?
Who Niall has put a lot of faith in. And so opposite this casting, we have Abdul Salas as Aemon Valda,
mm-hmm.
Which I agree. I'm excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be great. They're going to be great.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him, but they're going to be fantastic.
Did either of you recognize him right away when this casting came out?
No.
No, and I watch a lot of Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Oh, shit. I've only seen that movie one time.
Like, I've watched a lot of Love Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy who goes to America's Friend.
I've just worked out why I can never find true love.
What's that?
English girls. They're stuck up, you see. And I am primarily attractive to girls who are, you know, cooler. Game for a laugh. Like American girls. So I should just go to America. I would get a girlfriend there instantly. What do you think?
I think it's crap, Colin.
That's where you're wrong. American girls would seriously dig me with my cute British accent.
You don't have a cute British accent.
Yes, I do. I'm going to America.
Colin, you're a lonely, ugly arsehole. And you must accept it.
Never. I am Colin, god of sex. I'm just on the wrong continent, that's all.
Rewatching that movie, I realized like how little diversity is in it. And it's crazy because there's so many different plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just remember him being like really cute. He's also been on 65 episodes of BBC One's Casualty.
So he obviously wasn't a casualty. Okay.
No, not a casualty.
Yeah.
He played Curtis Cooper, and spoiler alert, because I tried to find a clip to play so we could, you know, hear him act a little bit more. But the only one I could find is him protecting a woman and like tackling the bad guy, and they both fall off the roof.
Oh, shit.
And he dies. It was like best deaths of Casualty. He's also been on EastEnders, Flyboys, and miscellaneous roles. So I think this is a pretty big role for him. He hasn't really done anything, I think, on this scale. So
right, yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a great character.
Yeah. Notes about Aemon. He is a blade master. He serves under Pedro Niall. He follows Elaine to the White Tower when she's first traveling there to become a novice. He's the one responsible for giving Galad the Way of the Light book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Galad casting.
Oh, I think everyone
for
is
sure.
Everyone's waiting for.
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting for like Galad. I feel like Lanfear and Berlan. I feel like people are like, "What are you gonna do with that?" You know?
Yeah.
Hand on hip.
I'd be up for a Galad Aemon Valda romance.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh damn.
Let's just ship them and then later like
yep.
Galad feels betrayed.
Yeah, maybe there's like a handwritten note and a pressed flower in the way of in the hand of the light.
Yes. I mean something's gotta tip the scales for Galad. Yeah, and just as a book reminder, this character is very clever and calculating, which is how later he becomes a Lord Captain Commander after Niall's death, which he was involved in orchestrating.
Involved,
yeah. So, yeah, cool. I'm totally happy with that. And since Rafe is so excited for their costumes,
yeah,
they're going to be nappy.
It's true.
Also, new castings, quote, along the Camelin Road. Mm-hmm. We have Mistress and Master Grinwell and Basil Gill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Master Grinwell's a little
buff.
Hot.
Yeah.
What's going on, Master Grinwell?
Yeah. He is a sturdy man with 9 children.
He's a sturdy man with 9 children. I mean,
he's got it going on.
He's planting some seeds. Yeah. He's got it going, yeah. Oh, there were several tweets about hot dads in the Wheel of Time this week after, you know, getting Bran Alvear and now Master Grinwell.
Yeah, it's not a bad looking cast, you know.
No, nope. Rafe knows what he's doing. He's got it. Pasha Bakari is Master Grinwell. Mm-hmm. Also English. He also been on Casualty and EastEnders, known for Emmerdale. And then Mistress Grinwell. The only real change from this, Rand makes note that she has yellow hair, mm-hmm. Because it's the first time he's seen blonde hair in his life. Not that important, but kind of the only sort of physical difference here. Mm-hmm. And I think what everyone's most excited for, of course, is Darren Clark, who will be playing Basil Gill.
Yeah.
Was this what you guys pictured when you think of Master Gill from The Queen's Blessing in Camelin?
Yeah, I think he's kind of got the look to me. I think so, yeah.
He's definitely got the look.
This guy reminds me of Varys.
I thought it was Varys when they posted it.
But yeah, he's got the look I would expect from Basil Gill, for sure.
He's English. You may have seen him on Netflix's Sick Note series. He's also been in Secret Diary of a Call Girl, where he played a BDSM client.
Mm-hmm. In Eye of the World, the innkeeper was fat, he was pleased to see. A pinked-faced man in a starched white apron, with graying hair combed back over a bald spot that it did not quite cover.
Yeah, he's bald, and I don't think he needs the gray patches of hair.
The gray wispies.
But he looks like the first innkeeper to me, like, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No skinny innkeepers.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting thing how, like, that line, the skinny innkeeper line, while it really has no bearing on the story, it's such a huge Wheel of Time thing.
Yeah.
Because it informs the way we think about every innkeeper, and there's one, like, every other chapter, you know, like.
Yeah.
That we think about for the rest of the series.
Oh, he's a thin innkeeper. Watch out for him.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
I've also used it to justify my way of living for a really long time. You know, it's like, I can't be that skinny, guys. I love food.
Like, I can't be a skinny innkeeper.
Yeah.
The inn must have bad food. They're all skinny.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that's just the pure drinking taverns, the hells.
For sure.
Last but not least, we have some mysteries to solve. We have Azuka Hoyle as Dana, Daryl McCormick in a unknown role, although we may have an update there to clarify.
Do you think he's a tinker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that your first thought?
Yeah. I thought it was the woman that Egwene has, like, the little dalliance with when they're traveling.
Yeah, and Perrin gets, like, a weird kind of protective jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of speculation over who he was, and then he did tweet, "I live my best tinker life."
Oh.
With a couple emojis. So it's actually been confirmed that Daryl will indeed be playing Aram, but there was a bit of a delay between the hints he was giving online and the official Wheel of Time on Prime announcement.
Yeah.
There's been some fun on Twitter, people saying, like, oh, you know, Aram and Perrin should have a dalliance. And I was like, no, in my mind. But now that I see Aram, I'm fine with that.
Do you think that they're all tinkers?
Everyone's a tinker. Everyone in the Wheel of Time is a tinker.
Well, I mean, out of these three.
Oh, no. I don't think so at all.
Yeah.
I think only Aram, yeah.
They've done some sort of mysterious things with the casting announcements where we've had leaked information or partial information kind of confirmed, but it's like, why not give us his name? Why not tell us his role?
And right.
So that's been building suspense, I think, in the fandom.
I mean, there is speculation that they're releasing, at this point in the releasing of casting information, they're doing it in the order of our meeting of the characters in the official Twitter of Time reread of the series.
Okay.
So they're kind of, I haven't actually been following it, but my understanding is they're kind of on the Camelin Road now.
I like him for this role.
Yeah.
He's got a great mouth to kiss.
Yeah. He is Irish, and he's known for Peaky Blinders and Vikings. So he's got some experience under his belt.
Nice.
I think Aram is an interesting character arc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, we have Azuka Hoyle as Dana. I think this has had the most speculation most recently. What are your thoughts, Colin?
So, like, I guess this, for me, it's either Elsa Grinwell,
mm-hmm.
or it could be Dana, who mm-hmm. is, like, introduced in The Great Hunt, like, as yeah. Tom's girlfriend. Or it could be Dane Bornhold, but Dana Bornhold.
Oh!
I don't know who it is, honestly.
I don't think it's
Dana Bornhold. I don't think so either, but it could be. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
It's just an interesting, it's just the name thing is interesting.
Yeah.
But I think the most likely thing is Elsa Grinwell, I think. I don't know what it'll be, honestly. It's a weird one that you can't really.
It is weird that they introduced the Grinwells without Elsa.
Right, 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 right.
It's weird that it's a single name.
Right.
At first, I thought that maybe it was, you know, like a temp name, not mm-hmm. like her real name, like they were hiding yeah. the real character name. But it's on IMDb officially as Dana.
As
so
Dana.
It's absolutely Dana.
Right.
And then I thought maybe it could be Aram. Like,
oh,
as
right.
cast as a woman, maybe right. that could be different. But I'm leaning towards Dina or Dina.
Yeah.
My only question, and this is also to do with sometimes the headshots they release.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're not the most recent, or, you know, like, actors can look like a very specific way in a headshot, and then mm-hmm. you can't really get a real sense of what they look like till you look at multiple photos.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought she was initially younger, mm-hmm. And she is young. She's in her early to mid-20s. I think she's about 24.
Okay.
But when I initially saw the headshot, I didn't know if I liked the idea of her being Dina and having this relationship with an older man.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the casting of Tom is also younger than mm-hmm. in the books. So the gap isn't quite the same. But I don't know about the dynamics of that relationship or how it will play out on screen.
Sure. I think that's like that's an interesting one. I wonder what your opinion is on this. Because I feel in the books, Dennis' character is really just there to further Tom's character, right? Which is unfortunate. It plays into a really unfortunate trope, I think. So I'm wondering if maybe that they're trying to expand that role.
Right.
To make it less kind of like throwaway. Yeah, it's a possibility, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And so that's why I thought maybe they're bringing her in early to expand that role and give her more agency. And so that it is more of a tragedy and not just like a plot device to give
right.
Tom some motive within
right, right.
like the span of 20 pages or something.
Right.
I also think it's crazy that Dina's like the first Gleamid, at least of that age. I'm like,
the first female Gleamid, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The first female Gleamid.
Right. Right.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah. That seems a little, when you really think about it, it's like, really? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like I don't know. They've had civilization for a while since the breaking. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No woman thought to like tell a story. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe they could expand that too. Like maybe it's harder for women to be gleemen, but like the first.
Right, right, right.
Or
right.
Maybe the first like court bard or something, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
I think she's a tinker.
Yeah?
Mm, okay.
I do, yeah. It's the hair that's making me think that, though, for some reason. I think she's a tinker.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she could be, like, one of the, like, what's the tinker dance called?
I was just going to ask you.
The sexy tinker dance?
It's not the Sassara.
It's not the Sassara.
That's what I always remember from
yeah.
Fael.
That's Fael's dance, Sassara.
Yeah, I think they're all tinkers. Everyone in the story. In the end, it's revealed everyone's just a tinker.
The Taganza.
Taganza, right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she'll be teaching Egwene how to do Taganza.
Yeah, and Perrin will be crawling into his own skin. So those are our three mysteries. And then we also have Phil Snowden, I believe was leaked as Steve.
I think it was official. Oh, wait, or was it leaked? Yeah, I think it was leaked.
So,
you're right. It was
unofficial. Radian Online released casting announcements.
Right.
Lumped in after they announced Jennifer Preston as Mrs. Grinwell.
Right.
They said, and Phil Snowden as Steve. Who may be an original character created for the show.
Right.
Or a code name.
Yeah.
I hope there is just some random person with, like, the name Steve in, like, the Wheel of Time universe.
Right. Like, they had an extra, and they were just like, Steve.
Steve. Steve, get in there. Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely enjoyed the speculation about Steve. There was a trailer created that was the Steve of Time.
Oh, that was amazing.
And there was also the Ballad of Steve by Andral, the Bard of Time.
Wheel of Time, we thought it was about battles won and battles lost. But we were wrong. I thought it was a mighty tale of powerful women and stand-up men. And very long. The story is about Steve, a sideline person that would never leave. Hero of the story that no one heard about. Steve is our man, there is no doubt.
Who do you think Steve is?
I don't know, what were my initial ones? I said Bale Doman.
Or Ishmael.
Ishmael. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's Ishmael. But it, maybe.
Someone said Elias.
Oh, maybe Elias.
Oh, really?
Maybe yeah. Elias, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that, actually. And then I feel like I had one more that I'm not remembering. I think I said jokingly, like, more death.
Oh, I think I'd really like him as Elias.
Yeah, I could see him as Elias or maybe Bale Doman.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Les Mis, the 2012 adaptation, and Modern Love.
Okay.
Which I didn't watch, but everyone really liked that.
Who was he in Modern Love? I really loved that series.
He was Steve. No, I don't know. I didn't watch that one. So, I mean, we'll find out eventually.
One day.
I'm okay with letting the mystery be for a while.
Yeah.
And then this happened a while ago, but I just wanted an honorable mention for the wolves, which have been cast. Narg did some digging and saw that they shot during the blocks for episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6.
That's cool.
But, you know, a lot of times they have, you know, second units shooting. So it's not necessarily tied to all of these episodes.
Totally,
you
yeah.
know, could be any one of them. But
yeah, those are some beautiful wolves, though.
Yeah. I wish you would just be a wolf daddy, Colin. Get your wolfhound pup. So, in our new segment, Twitter of Time, today we're highlighting a thread from Cool Story Podcast, actually. They tweeted, "Sometimes I laugh about the fans who get upset about the show being too woke/PC, and I imagine how mad it would make them if I were in charge of the show. Spoilers ahead." This was a pretty great thread. I liked a lot of things they had to say.
Me too.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be fun if we do sort of a lightning round and go through and say, like, if you agree or disagree.
Uh-huh.
I think they're all coming from great places. I mean, this is addressing people who, you know, have problems with how Rafe is producing the show.
Right, right.
And it also just brings to light some things that obviously have problems or aren't portrayed in the best way in the books.
Uh-huh.
So I don't necessarily disagree with any of their suggestions. But in terms of the adaptation for the show, I might have opinions about how I'd like to see things come to life. So, you know, we'll play it that way. But yeah. I think everything they said is great and coming from a great place. We will pause on maybe a few of these. Maybe if we each want to pick one and just talk about it a little bit more, we can sort of explain more.
Mm-hmm.
Colin, you want to, like, lead the reading of them?
So we've got one of the first ones was Swan and Moraine's love would be explicit and the Tom romance wouldn't exist.
That makes sense. The Tom relationship is just so silly to me.
I 100% agree. Nix the Tom Moraine relationship. If they do New Spring flashbacks, would love to see Suan and Moraine's love be explicit. Mm-hmm. In terms of present day, like when the story takes place, I'm okay that Moraine sort of like moved on because she has this new mission. Mm-hmm. And so like by cutting the Tom thing, like I think it's okay for her to just not have any romantic entanglements because it's like not a priority in her life.
Yeah. I feel like I agree. I agree with the sweet. I would love to see that. I think the first time I read the books, the Tom thing was a total left field thing for me. Like, where the hell did that come from?
Out of nowhere, yeah.
But when I, in my reread, and I have to admit, like, I'm kind of looking for it too, because it was so out of left field. Like, I can see how he planted the seeds for it.
Yeah.
But anyhow, moving on. Rand would have a mentor who he would talk to about his PTSD.
I'll go, I would say no. In real life, yes, I would absolutely love for Rand to have someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, there's a very real truth to when you have trauma and mental issues and you don't get help. And I think Rand represents that. Mm-hmm. So he has to find it in other ways. And a lot of his journey is because he doesn't do that. That's pretty, you know, relevant to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Aram and Piram would fall in love.
I don't know about fall in love, but I'm all right with a little
Have a little tryst. Yeah, a little
action
tryst.
Under the wagon.
Yeah, a little tryst, a little moment in the woods before Perrin gets nailed down.
I could see Aaron having more complicated emotions for Perrin.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would actually like make it really interesting later, too, right?
I always felt like he did. I always felt like he was sort of jealous of Faye.
Oh, that's actually a good point. Like, if they had a little moment and then, like, he shows up in the Two Rivers, like, a year later, like, oh, yeah? Theo, let me tell you something. Okay, so so the next one, Matt would never be raped. Rape would not be used as a threat.
I have a lot to say on this, so you guys go first.
I don't know.
Like, you don't agree with the tweet?
I don't agree with it, no.
Okay.
So
Jamie has a lot to say on this.
I do. I've thought about it. I think something we talk about on the show a lot is representation. Mm-hmm. And there is probably too few examples of female perpetrated either sexual assault or harassment on males in media. And so it doesn't reflect the reality that we live in. And because of that, and because of a lot of gender coding, I think there are a lot of men who don't feel as valid or comfortable coming forward or don't know how to process that. And they see a lot of support for women and women talking about it and like finding what they need to heal. And so I think that I have a lot of problems with how Matt's rape plays out and the tone of which it's dealt with in the books.
Same.
But I would like to see it absolutely represented and kept in the story, but I trust Rafe to adapt it in a way. You know, the thing that bothers me the most is how they make light of it, how Matt never really processes it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that Jordan does well, and I think that Jordan was actively trying to sort of turn things on its head because there is the expectation of, you right. know, like it's always like the guy harassing women. But I think Matt always, even though he's sexually active, it's always consensual.
Yeah.
And so I think it bothers me and it almost perpetuates stereotypes that they used to say about women, like inviting rape.
Right.
Or, you know, like just because Matt is sexually active and like that doesn't mean he's inviting that or that it's okay in any way. And that's sort of used against him by Elaine. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to read this passage about Matt. He's the first time he's opening up and admitting that this has happened to him because the girls are sort of patronizing. Yeah.
They're
patronizing him for like what they think that he is coming onto Thailand and like seducing a queen. So the passage goes, he became very interested in one of the dark metal ravens inlaid in the haft of the Ashandari so he would not have to meet her eyes. What I mean to say is, you don't understand, he muttered. You have it all backwards. He risked a glance at her under the edge of his hat brim. A faint blush crept into her cheeks, but her face became solemn as a marble bust. So there's like hope in this bit, like, okay, Elaine's gonna get it, and you've been sort of like waiting for this. But then it goes, "Appears that I may have misunderstood," she said soberly. "That is very bad of Tylin." He thought her lips twitched. "Have you considered practicing different smiles in a mirror, Matt?" Startled, he blinked. "What?" "I have heard reliably that that is what young women do who attract the eyes of kings." Something cracked the sobriety of her voice, and this time her lips definitely twitched. "You might try batting your eyelashes, too." Catching her lower lip with her teeth, she turned away, shoulders shaking, dust cloak streaming behind her as she hurried toward the landing. Before she darted beyond hearing, he heard her chortle something about a taste of his own medicine. So, yeah, like, rereading this was really disturbing to me. Yeah. And it always bothered me, but every time I read it, like, I just...
It's kind of... It feels worse each time.
It feels worse. It makes me, like, hate Elaine also. Yeah. Like, this is so problematic.
Yeah.
So I think it's important they include the rape and that they get it right. Mm-hmm. And that hopefully Matt is able, when he is able to talk about it with someone, he actually gets the support he needs and isn't, like, victim blamed.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I agree with everything you said. I think the issue isn't Matt being raped. The issue is the tone of surrounding mm-hmm. Matt being raped, because it is like, the point is to tell a story. The point isn't necessarily to tell like homogenized stories, you know? Like,
yeah.
An interesting thing is comparing Matt's arc in this respect to Morgase's arc.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, interesting.
These are very serious things that are happening to both of these characters who are prominent characters. Obviously Matt mm-hmm. and Morgase is more prominent than your average character. Mm-hmm. And she has a lot of shit happen to her.
Yeah.
And I feel like she never gets justice. She never gets like a justified arc, you know? She never gets mm-hmm. any sort of resolution that feels good.
No.
So hopefully they're able to do something about that. But I think there's something obviously connected about these two narratives and these two arcs. And I would like to see them do something good with that as well as they can.
I think that's a really good point. And at some point, I definitely want to also just, like, do an episode or a full discussion about Morgase, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move on. So, no spanking. It's the next one. Thoughts?
You guys go first.
I actually don't have a problem with the spanking.
I don't either. I think spanking's super hot.
I think it's a little excessive. I think some points are inappropriate. But I'm not going to say no spanking whatsoever.
Yeah, I was like, maybe paddling or birching would be better. Jimmy. All right, next.
Next. Narishma would be a trans man, preferably played by Chelaman, and he would speak in sign language.
100%. I'm fine with this.
I fucking love that. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
Men would be non-binary.
When we were doing fantasy castings, like, Casman is non-binary.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree. Matt would be pansexual, that is.
Matt is pan. It's just not in the book, but
okay, so this is my thought on that. I completely agree. My issue is it's a tone issue, just like we just talked about. And this is hard with Matt's character because he's kind of like he's the humorous character, you know, in that way. I am fully on board with Matt being pan. I feel like it's kind of coded into his character. But my issue is with it being played as the stereotypical promiscuous pansexual / bisexual, which I think Matt, like, he has his fun, obviously, but like he's not just like bedding down like any person he finds.
No, you know, he likes to flirt though.
He likes to flirt, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's fine. So I think as long as it's giving a nuanced representation of that sexual identity, then I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. Did you guys ever watch Doctor Who?
I watched the first season.
Captain Jack Harkness.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. He's probably the stereotypical kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it helps because there's also, like, aliens and monsters, so he's, like, truly pansexual.
Right.
But it was also nice to just see pansexuality represented in, like, a children's TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Okay, so endless male nudity to make up for the thousands of years of women have been expected to be nude in TV shows.
I'm for the nudity. I don't need any justification for it. There needs to be more nailed nudity. Yeah.
Fair enough. Agreed. One of the Gleeman's art forms will be drag.
For sure.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
I love that so much.
I fucking love it.
I also think there's truth to it because, you know, women weren't allowed to be actors, you know, in early theater. And so, like, the men would play the female characters. So I feel like it's totally natural that the Gleeman would dress up as women.
See some of that, yeah.
Yeah, fabulously.
Tuan would accept that she can channel and end the enslavement of channelers and pay them reparations.
I'll say, because Lesbie just did a video about like the depiction of enslaved peoples in the Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
And I agree with her. Some people said that RJ was going to expand the world and write more stories after Tarman Gaydon, where something like this could have been possible.
Mm-hmm.
Within the books, I don't think it is possible in the timeline, but she said that she feels like, you know, when Rand is negotiating the Dragon's Peace, he is not able to negotiate, like, the freedom, and the Shantan are allowed to keep people enslaved in their territory.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a tragedy, and yeah. we're meant to feel that. Yeah. But it's also, she said that it's the right narrative choice to leave some problems unsolved in the world, because otherwise, why have we built up all these heroes?
Totally.
And it would be unrealistic to just fit everything into a nice little neat box and, like, Rand saves the day. And
yeah, there's no more trouble.
No more trouble in the world.
Totally.
So, in a perfect world, yeah, that this would have happened like after Tarman Gaydon, but yeah. I don't think in the show it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's a really good point, and I agree with what you just said. Next one, Aiel brother husbands.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I don't know. I'm on the fence. Okay. I'm on the fence. It just has to be like worked out within the culture. I'm for it, and I said that I would like to see polyamory in that regard. I'm just more trying to think how it would impact Aiel society.
Well, I'm thinking, like, I actually just listened to Elaine and Avienda become first sisters.
Uh-huh.
And there's a point at which, like, after they hit each other, they both hit each other twice, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're like, the wise one who's running the ceremony says, okay, you can leave now. And they're like, what? And she's like, well, a lot of people leave after this. They don't get past this part, you know?
Uh-huh.
And she said, most men don't get past this part.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which suggests that men have the same ceremony.
Right.
First brothers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, I don't know. What do you think? I feel like it could work.
I mean, especially because the only thing is, I feel like the wise ones have so much control already. If they have multiple husbands, like, the clan chiefs don't stand a chance, honestly. But I'm for it. I'm for it. I'm not against it, for sure.
Okay. So trans and non-binary channelers would be able to channel both halves of the source and do fucking amazing stuff cis channelers could only dream of. They're responsible for all the miracles from the Age of Legends. I actually really like this one.
I love that.
I don't know if they could do it in the show, but I fucking really loved it.
Yeah.
I really liked it a lot. Yeah.
I love it. I left it out because I started writing fan fiction about it.
Well, we gotta publish it, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So the last one, can we make Gareth Bryne a woman so that Swan can stay lesbian and one of the great generals is a woman?
I'm all for that.
Absolutely.
No.
What?
What?
One, Swan is already a great bi-pan character.
Okay.
So I don't really want to change that.
Okay.
I would like to see a great captain that's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like Gareth Bryn as he is.
Fair enough. He's a great character. That's true.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite great captain, so I'm a little like...
Fair enough.
I like the way Jordan wrote
him. A little protective.
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
A little bias.
Yeah, cool. I want my captain daddy. I'm All right. So to wrap up, do you guys have any cool story podcast style book changes you want to throw out there?
So I had this example. This is something I thought of. I don't remember. What were we talking about, Jamie? I don't remember what we were talking about.
Nothing.
And nothing. Anyway, so I was like, what if on Winter Night, Narg kills Rand, and then the rest of the books we just follow Narg through his journey, like his up and coming journey.
14 books of Narg.
14 books yeah. of Narg.
It's like 500 days of summer.
Yeah, his rise through the Dark Friends becomes the fucking
Nablis.
Yeah, the Nablis. Narg becomes Nablis. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This is the spinoff I've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
A Narg spinoff.
Yeah. When we were talking about this, I think it was, there was kind of like a fill in the blank style tweet.
Yeah.
And we were like, what if it's Narg fill in the blank instead of like Narg smart? Like,
oh, yeah.
Narg pretty. Like. Narg, the pansexual idol you've always dreamed of. Honorable mention also wanted to, there was a Twitter of Time poll where fans were asked, you know, what group would you like to, or lands would you like to see more of? And the Sharans and the Isle of Madness, as well as the Sea Folk, were like the top voted ones, because I think we see the least of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the Sea Folk kind of get the shaft in the story.
They kind of do, right?
Yeah.
I love the Sea Folk.
I do too, but they're kind of like, I don't know.
They have really strong imagery. Like, I have really strong imagery of, like, what the Sea Folk are doing when they're, like, weaving to, like, channel the wind into their sails.
Yeah.
We get enough to, like, form some sort of shape of their society in our minds, but there's a lot that's just...
There's a lot that's not there.
Yeah.
They're in this weird uncanny valley of, like, you're real, but are you real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have the same substance to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Of a lot of the other kind of cultures and people.
Yeah. I just hope they get, you know, the attention they deserve, and they're not treated like the Dorne in HBO's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then the Sharans, obviously, are kind of... They only come into play in the last battle.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And so it would be great to see anything of them before.
To see something of that beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that just always a did surprise. Bother me. Yeah.
It did bother me. Like, where the fuck they come from?
Thank you guys for joining us. We hope you're excited about all the changes we're making. This is the official start of season 2. If you like us, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast store you're streaming from. If you have topics or themes you'd like us to cover in a future episode, please DM at RanlandTVPod on Twitter, or we're also on Instagram. And thank you guys so much for your support over the past year.
So I should do a special voice to read this, right?
Oh, please do.
The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth.
Oh my God.
And even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again in one age called the Turn Age by some. An age yet to come, an age long past. A wind rose in the mountains of mist. The wind was not the beginning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to the turning of the wheel of time, but it was a beginning. All right, I think I nailed it.